chapter 11, chapter that most of God's people are very familiar with. The subject of the chapter is faith. The word faith occurs 24 times in the chapter. It's a chapter that gives us, that defines and illustrates faith, so it's a biblical definition of what faith is. As you read through the chapter, you see the phrase by faith 16 times, the phrase through faith 5 times, which tells us that faith is a means of accomplishing something. So what we have here is the record of ordinary men and women who were enabled to do the extraordinary by the means of faith. Ordinary men and women who made a difference with their life and with their death, again, by the means of faith. Ordinary men and women who were a blessing, an encouragement, and who have been, continue to be, a testimony to the children of God throughout the ages. All by faith. There's a record of how faith can impact a life. The power of faith, the force of faith, the workings of faith, what one can achieve through faith. So the chapter primarily tells of men and women who walked out of step with the world and the times in which they lived and lived triumphant lives, and was all by or through faith. I want to center the thought of the message around two words. Verse 13, these all. And then we see the same thing in verse 39, these all. Of course, referring to those that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. And that's our subject, these all. And we pray that we can identify with these all. First of all, consider the context of the book of Hebrews. The setting, of course, is the children of God are surrounded by unbelievers, surrounded by the influence of unbelievers. These children of God who are saved Hebrews, saved Jews, had witnessed and were witnessing many of their brothers and sisters depart from their profession of faith in Christ, and they were returning to Judaism or to their old ways. In addition to these things, they were being persecuted by their unsaved kinsmen. They were being persecuted by Rome. Due to these circumstances, there were many dangers in their lives, and this is indicated by the word lest that occurs 11 times throughout the book. And from the usage of that word, lest, they are warned about several things. They are warned about drifting from the things that they had heard. They are warned about disbelieving the voice of God and coming short of the promises of God. and leaving the elementary principles of God, against thinking lightly of the truth, against drawing back from God, against fainting in their own minds, against becoming discouraged and drained spiritually, and against departing from the way of God. These were all very real dangers to these saved people, and they continue to be very real dangers to you and I. In light of their circumstances, the writer of Hebrews writes to stimulate them, to embolden them to persevere in the life that God had called them to live. 13 times the writer uses the phrase, "let us." Each time that, of course, is followed by a particular duty of life that they were called to. He's encouraging them to live this life. He says, let us fear or reverence. Let us labor. Let us hold fast our profession. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. Let us go on, or let us continue. Let us draw near. Let us hold fast. Let us consider one another. Let us lay aside every weight. Let us run. Let us have grace. Let us go forth. Let us offer sacrifices of praise. All of those phrases are in the present tense, conveying the idea of continuance and progression. It's something they were to continue to do. So the overall purpose of the book is to admonish these saved Hebrews, to exhort them, to motivate them, to encourage them, not to lose heart, not to give up, but to be always advancing spiritually, always making progress spiritually. Therefore, the writer establishes the theme, the preeminence of Christ. That's the theme of Hebrews, is the preeminence of Jesus Christ. That makes Christ the main feature. He's the focal point. And that, of course, is what will enable them to get through all of this. And that, of course, requires faith. To emphasize this, there's the repeated... To emphasize the preeminence of Christ, there's the repeated word better. And it's used in with regard to Christ. So, if the already mentioned dangers are to be overcome, they must believe, they must have faith concerning the preeminence of Christ. The preeminence of Christ must be firmly established in their hearts, and that is still true today. If God's people are going to live the life they are called to live, the preeminence of Christ must be firmly rooted in our hearts. There's no other way. And we see also to emphasize the nature of the life that we are to live. 11 times he uses the word heaven or heavenly. So we see the theme of the life that we are to live is Christ. The nature of the life that we are to live is heavenly. And all of that requires something that is beyond us. Faith. That's what it requires. We are saved by grace through faith. The life that we are called to live requires faith. So this 11th chapter really is a continuation of the thought that is presented back in chapter 10. Notice chapter 10, verses 35 through 39. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. That's faith. which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, or endurance, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Again, many of them were drawing back. Many of them were going back to the old ways of Judaism. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So in verse 35, there is the exhortation, don't quit. That's what verse 35 is telling us. That is followed by a declaration of personal need in verse 36. You have need of patience. You have need of endurance, which of course is necessary to fulfill the exhortation, don't quit. You need endurance to keep going. That is followed by the statement of verse 37, which is a statement of encouragement, followed by a declaration in verse 38 that begins now, a word used to draw attention to a particular statement. And the statement is the just, or the justified, the saved, shall live by faith. And that, of course, is in contrast to those who draw back unto perdition. So from this, we see that faith is the key element in resisting the pull of the world. It is the key element in resisting the mere forms and ceremonies of religion. It is the key element to advancing and continuing spiritually. And these all of Hebrews chapter 11 are the ones that endured. They are the ones who did not draw back. They are the ones who continued to walk by faith. So he has this thought in verse 10, and then it continues in verse 11, or in chapter 11. The key element back in verse 10 was the just shall live by faith. And then coming to Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, now faith is. And what follows is a definition of faith. The writer of Hebrews is going to define faith. He says faith is the substance of things hoped for. So faith is not a mere dream. Faith is the substance. Substance is something that's real. It's something you can get a hold of. Faith is the substance. Faith substantiates. Faith gives substance to our hopes, to our assurances. It is the grounds or the confidence of our hope. It's what our hope is based on. It gives reality to things that are unseen. So faith is not ignorance. Faith is substance. Faith is reality. It gives reality to things that you cannot see. Substance is something, again, that you can lay hold of. You can't see it, but you can lay hold of it. You can't see it, but you can grasp it. It is the substance of things hoped for. He goes on to say it's also the evidence of things not seen. Things that are invisible. Faith is the evidence. What's evidence? Evidence is proof. Faith is the proof of things not seen. Faith is the proof of the creation account. Faith is the reality, gives reality to the creation account. You don't have to prove it. Faith is the proof. It's the firm persuasion of things hoped for. In other words, faith has a convicting power. that overcomes carnal reasoning. So from all of this, we see that faith, of course, concerns God. It concerns the matters of God. And it enables us to lay hold of those things. It's the substance of those things. It's also the proof of those things. Now we know that faith consists of seeing, not with the physical eye, but with the spiritual eye. Faith consists of knowledge. Again, faith is not based on ignorance. Faith is based upon what God says. Faith consists of persuasion. Faith has an anticipation about it. Faith is an assent, an agreement with what God says. Faith is an approach unto God. So it's faith that allows us to see God. Faith allows us to know God. Faith allows us to believe God. Faith allows us to anticipate what God will do. Faith agrees with God. Faith comes to God. Faith lays hold of God. Faith embraces God. Faith leans upon God. Faith relies upon God. Faith rests upon God. Faith enables us to do all of those things. And these all of our text, they had faith. They, like us, lived in a world that was diametrically opposed to spiritual things. But they had faith. They lived in a dark world. They lived in a world of trouble and testing and trials. A world of great need. A world of evil and wickedness. A world of hatred against God and the things of God. They lived in a world where God was not honored. God was not admired. God was not sought. So it is with us. A world where the promises of God are unknown and not relied upon. A world where the truth of God is not sought and the Word of God is not obeyed. That's the world they lived in. That's been the world since the fall. It's the same world that we live in. But yet, they possessed faith. They possessed faith. These all could see. They could understand what others could not. In Hebrews 11, verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. The world today does not know, they do not understand what's going on. But we, who have faith, we can see, we can understand. It's not a matter of intelligence. It's a matter of faith. We can understand what others do not. They could see and understand the spirit that spiritual matters were superior and more advantageous to temporal matters. They understood that. They understood that because they had faith. They could see that the spiritual is more important than the temporal. There are people who come to church and they still do not see. They still do not understand that spiritual matters take precedence over temporal matters. Why don't they understand? It's because they lack faith. Faith sees this. Faith understands this. And as a result of having that faith that can see and understand, you seek and you pursue what others do not seek and pursue. You seek and pursue spiritual things, not temporal things. That's faith. That's faith. These all desired and sought the heavenly over the earthly. So it is with those who have faith. They seek the heavenly over the earthly. You can sit down and talk with individual and try to get them to understand that the spiritual is more important than the earthly, but I'm here to tell you, if they don't have faith, they'll never get it. They'll never see it. Requires faith. And may I say, this faith is saving faith. Same faith that saves us is this faith that works here in Hebrews 11. These individuals were persuaded that the heavenly is superior and more advantageous than the earthly. So he defines faith. And then he goes on to illustrate faith. And Hebrews 11 reveals that there is a life that flows from faith. That is made very, very clear in Hebrews chapter 11. There is a life that flows from faith. And that is always so. And that is the truth that James declared in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. He talked about faith and works. In other words, there's something that flows from faith. There is a life that flows from faith. There are works that flow from faith. There are behaviors that flow from faith. There is a way of thinking that flows from faith. And again, this 11th chapter is a record of the impact of faith. You can't have faith and it not impact your life. It shows the power of faith. If you have faith, there's power in faith. It shows the workings of faith. It shows the achievements of faith. And all of that tells us that faith is more than a belief. It is belief, but it's more than belief. It is confidence, but it's more than confidence. There is a life that flows from it. So, Hebrews 11 reveals that faith, it reveals how faith acts. It reveals that faith has life. It reveals that faith is active. It reveals that faith is energetic. It reveals that faith is life-changing. And that these all of our texts possessed this faith. Again, we see throughout, we see the word by faith, through faith. Illustrating that faith is a source of activity. It is a source of activity. Where there's faith, there's activity. It is alive. It works. It's productive. It's a force or a power that regulates life. And reading through the chapter, you see that faith is the source of many things. In verse 2, we see that, for by it, faith, the elders obtained a good report. Faith is a source of a good testimony, is what he's telling us. We see in verse 3 that it's through faith we understand spiritual things. So it's by faith that we have confidence in the truth of divine declarations. Verse 4, we see by faith Abel offered unto God. So this faith is sacrificial. This faith worships. In verse 5, we read of the faith of Enoch, how he was translated above this world. Faith enables one to live a life above the world. In verse 6, we see that faith involves a coming to God and a believing in God and a pleasing of God. Faith enables us to do all of those things. Verse 7, we see by faith, Noah moved. So we see it's faith gives reverence for God. Faith moves us in the things of God. Verses 8 through 10, you have what we saw this morning, the faith of Abraham. And we see that faith enables one to have unquestionable obedience to God. Verses 11 and 12, we read of the faith of Sarah, that faith gives strength. Verses 13 through 16, we see faith causes us to have patience and hope. Verses 17 through 19, you have the faith of Abraham offering up Isaac. Faith enables one to let go. Faith enables one to trust the Lord. And on it goes. Verses 20 through 22, you have the faith of Isaac and you have the faith of Joseph and how things were revealed to them through faith. We see the parents of Moses in verse 23. They committed their child to God's care by faith. Verse 24 through 28, you read of the faith of Moses. And what you read there is a radical life. He refused to be discouraged. He refused to be deterred by Egypt. Verses 29 and 30, you read of the Red Sea and the walls of Jericho. Faith gives victory. Verse 31, you read of the faith of Rahab. She was different. It was faith that made her different. And then in verses 32 through 37, you read of several individuals who had courage, who experienced victory and who persevered, who just kept going in spite of all the difficulties. These were people of faith. Again, that's more than just belief. That's more than just a mental conviction. It is a life. Faith always results, saving faith always results in a life. So from all this, we see the importance of faith. We see the impact that faith has. We see the effectiveness of faith in the lives of men and women, just like ourselves. Men and women who lived for God. Men and women who excelled for God. And they did so in very sinful and difficult times. Faith is what got them through. It was not their talent. It was not their ability. It was not their personality. It was not their resources. It was faith. Faith trumps ability. Faith trumps personality. Faith trumps all talent and all other resources. By faith. Through faith. Oh, how we need faith. Again, the apostles pray, increase our faith. It is faith that enables us to live in the awareness of God. Why is it that so many of God's people have no awareness of God whatsoever? Why is it that they're oblivious to God? Because they lack faith. Faith allows us to live in the awareness of God. Faith allows us to live in dedication and commitment and surrender to God. It was faith that caused these all to pursue and to serve God. It was faith that caused these all to live lives of nonconformity and to live lives of transformation. And it was through faith that these all obeyed and followed God and enjoyed God and had the peace of God and had the assurance of God and had a zeal for God. It was all by faith. It's faith that does these things, our establishment in the matters of God, and our spiritual prosperity is closely related to faith. We read in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 20, believe on the Lord your God, that's faith, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. So there is establishment and prosperity spiritually through faith. So you see, a life lived by faith is how to live above the world. That's the only way you can live above the world. You have to be able to look beyond the temporal, look beyond what's going on here, and see what others cannot see. See God. That's faith. A life lived by faith is how to live above the shadow and the form of religion. A life lived by faith is how to think right. If our thinking is based strictly upon temporal things without any faith, we're not going to think right. Faith is crucial in thinking right. Faith is crucial in making right choices. Faith is crucial in keeping the clutter out of our lives. We bring in the temporal, fill our lives with all kinds of clutter. But faith prevents that from happening. Life lived by faith is how not to be mastered and controlled and governed by circumstances. Why is it that so many who profess to be saved are completely mastered and controlled and governed by circumstances? Their moods, everything about them is completely determined by circumstances. You can read a verse of Scripture to them, it doesn't change their mood, it doesn't change their viewpoint, it doesn't change their outlook. They're void of faith. They're void of faith. Now realize, we all, from time to time, are mastered and controlled and governed by circumstances, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people that are always that way. They're always that way. People think, you know, they're up on cloud nine when things are going well, and with a matter of seconds, they can... They say, well, they're bipolar or whatever. No, not necessarily. It may be, but not necessarily. Many times it's a faith problem. A life lived by faith is how to ascend spiritually. It's how we stay connected to God. It's the only way you can stay connected to the Lord. A life lived by faith will enable us to worship God no matter what. Life lived by faith enables us to draw closer to God. We read in 1 John 5, verse 4, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It is faith that overcomes or that allows us, that enables us to overcome the world. It is faith that realizes God to be more of a reality than anything else. That's faith. It's faith that makes the Word of God come alive in our hearts. It is a faith that causes us to love Him more. It is a faith that enables us to see Him, to look to Him, to lean upon Him, to draw from Him, to cleave to Him. It's faith that enables us to do all those things. It's faith that enables us to cast all upon Him. It's faith that causes us to be occupied with Him and obsessed with God, and more directed and governed by God than we are other things and other matters. So it is the faith of these all that keeps this world from becoming our home. It's faith. It's faith that keeps us from driving our stakes too deep into the ground. And it is the faith of these all that lessens our attachment to the world. We ought to be becoming less and less attached to the world every day. And that'll be so if we have faith. It's faith that keeps us from being weighted down with the things and the pursuits of the world. Faith is a great power. Faith has great impact upon a life. Notice in closing, if we turn to Romans chapter 1, I just want to notice a phrase here in Romans 1. Verse 17. For therein, the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. From faith to faith. That's faith increasing. That ought to be our life. From faith to faith. Oh, may we be identified with the these all of Hebrews chapter 11. And again, as you read Hebrews 11, you notice men like Noah, Abraham, Moses. And as you read the scriptures, you know that these individuals did not always live by faith. It is recorded of each one of them how that they had times where it was as if they had no faith. That's us. None of us live by faith every single day. None of us never fail. We have unbelief. Remember the man Jesus healed and he said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And that's true of all of us. We have faith, but there's an awful lot of unbelief as well. And many times we need to confess, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. And many times we need to pray with the apostles, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Again, two things people say, never pray for patience, never pray for faith. That's a statement of ignorance. Pray for patience, pray for faith. Well, if you pray for patience, the Lord's going to send trials in your life. Do you want it or not? If you pray for faith, the Lord's going to give you hardships. Do you want it or not? Pray for faith. Pray for patience. I believe the two go together. The more faith we have, the more patience we have. The more faith we have, the more endurance we have. So these all. What a testimony that these men and women had in the lives that they lived. And what a testimony they still have. Because of the faith that God gave them. And faith comes from God. So we need to pray to Him for faith. I can't give you faith. No one in this church can give you faith. Faith comes from God. You don't get faith by a 7-step program. Faith comes from God. It is a gift. And oh, what a gift it is. What a wonderful gift it is. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us.